It's Edward Davey. I'm the MP for Kingston and Surbiton and leader of the Liberal Democrats.
We've seen this morning that NHS providers are calling for long-term sustainable investment support for services as a report comes out suggesting millions of people with mental health problems are missing out on NHS treatment or being made to wait for a long time. Could you tell us a bit about your response to this?
It's a real concern. We know there's a crisis in the NHS. We're seeing it with ambulance delays, people having problems getting appointments for their GPs. We've seen waiting times at A&E, and a whole range of different people are being badly affected. And this report today talks about people with mental health problems being badly affected. And it's a real, real worry. And I think the government has got to completely step up. It's really underestimated how serious the problem is in the NHS. And one thing Liberal Democrats have been arguing for is we've got to make sure the social care side is better invested, because you can take a lot of the pressure off the NHS and enable people to be treated more quickly if people can be discharged from hospital into social care more quickly.
One of your policies is for 8,000 more GPs. Surely that will mean higher taxes during a cost of living crisis.
Well, you're right. Liberal Democrats, in order to enable people to be able to see their GP more quickly and to give them a right to see their GP more quickly, want to train, retain, encourage back into the service 8,000 GPs. And our proposal would do that over 4 years. You can't do it overnight. It would take 4 years, we think. And you do have to pay for it. We've argued that the tax on banks that have been cut by the Conservatives since 2015, they should go back to what they were. And we use that money from taxing the banks to pay for this policy, and actually more than pay for this policy. And I think the need to enable people to see their GPs more quickly is important. The GPs currently are working so hard. I've never seen GPs so much pressure. And that's why the only way to solve this is to get more GPs. And our policy line sets out how you would do that.
Speaking of, the Young Carers Party Conference, as it's so called, took place at the weekend at Chesham World of Adventures. You were in attendance. You said there was around 140 youngsters there and you spoke to them. Could you tell us a bit about what you said and what they said to you?
Well, it was an amazing event, and Kingston Carers Network and their Young Carers Project are absolutely fantastic. If people don't know about it, you know, if you know a young carer or you are a young carer, please get in touch, because they really want to help. And the conference that you talk about in Chessington, the Chessington World of Ventures, was an example of the amazing things that they do for young carers. I mean, these are young people, sometimes very young, primary school age even, who have got caring responsibilities either for a parent or maybe for a brother or sister. And this project recognises that there's pressures on these young carers, can affect their health, can affect their education and their life chances. So by giving young carers more support, some respite, so they don't always doing that caring role, and giving them some fun sometimes, that makes all the difference. And that's what I was talking about. That's what the whole day was about. And it was hugely successful.
In regards to the cost of living crisis, energy companies are talking about scaling back their environmental investment if they're subject to a windfall tax. Would you advocate the windfall money being put entirely into green power?
Well, I think the windfall tax actually needs to help people with their energy bills. Liberal Democrats were the first party to call for a proper windfall tax on the huge profits of the oil and gas giants like Shell and BP. And we want that money used to help people with their energy bills. So the government have done a very mild version, and it's just not good enough. So this April, the government are saying people's bills will go up by another £500. Well, they're just totally out of touch, totally out of touch. When BP and Shell have just registered historic record profits, I mean, off the scale record profits, it surely is right that they are asked to put some of that into a pot so people's energy bills are not going up. That's what Liberal Democrats have been arguing for.
Well, in that case, how can we make sure that there is going to be investment in green power if these companies are talking about scaling it back? Would you say perhaps that they're holding green power hostage to avoid a windfall tax?
Well, first of all, as someone who's been very much involved in the growth of Britain's renewable power, and I oversaw it when I was a cabinet minister with that responsibility, we nearly quadrupled Britain's renewable power and became the world leader in offshore wind. I can tell you that that was not done with any investment from the oil and gas companies. We can grow our green power whether or not the oil and gas companies want to be part of that. There are literally huge numbers of companies and investors who want to invest in the UK in our renewable power. And it's up to the oil and gas companies where they want to be there. I would note that the chief executives of these companies have made very clear that they would continue with their investment regardless of the windfall tax. So, I like it to do with facts. I'm convinced that the investment that we need can continue and we can help people who are struggling with those bills.
Surbiton Station is getting a new staircase. This is something you've been campaigning for and that you've attended a preview to. Could you tell us a bit about what you've seen and what you've been campaigning for and why?
Well, I'm very excited about this new staircase at the back of Surbiton Station. The campaign goes back quite a long time, over a decade, because the problem is that in the evening peak on platforms 3 and 4, you often get trains coming in at the same time and the number of people on the platform is dangerously large. And because there's only been one staircase, the platforms have been absolutely chocker for too long, and many people have recognised that this is potentially very dangerous. So we have argued that there needed to be this second staircase to relieve that congestion, to make the platforms safer for people and to enable people to get off the platforms far more quickly. So there's a huge benefit for people. And it's taken a long time to persuade the powers that be to make this investment, but we've won, and it's now opening. And I think it's exciting. It's exciting because it's been beautifully done. It's a fantastic, beautiful station, Surbiton Station. And this staircase, I think, has been very well designed. So it will both enhance the look of our wonderful station, but also keep people safe and enable them to get home more quickly. So I think this is a big win for our area and will be here for decades or centuries to come.
It's LGBT History Month. Only a few months ago, your party's definition of transphobia was updated to support so-called gender-critical views. Since it is LGBT History Month, will you take a stand and change it back, despite the controversial legal precedents that drove you to change it in the first place?
Well, Liberal Democrats are totally supporting trans people and indeed all people who face harassment. We believe people are equal, and I think the vast majority of people across the UK agree with that. They agree that we should make sure everyone's rights and dignity are respected. The change you referred to was on the back of legal advice and was to deal with complaints. When we have a complaint to the party about another member from another party member, for example, and how that should be dealt with. So we need to make sure that our complaint system upholds the law, and that's what we're doing.
But if you are talking about protecting people from harassment, these gender-critical views do drive harassment against the trans community. So if you were to change it back, that would demonstrate that you are on the side of trans people despite this legal advice.
Well, just in the way that other political parties are doing, we are protecting trans people, absolutely. But the balance here, which was from the legal advice about what the current law is the quite understandable need to make sure that you also protect free speech. And it's a very difficult balance. And that's why we had to get proper legal advice to make sure we struck that balance right to protecting trans people who amongst some of the most discriminated people in our society, whilst also protecting free speech. We think actually that the Liberal Democrats are leading in this issue in many ways, making sure that we are looking after our trans members whilst also getting the balance right with free speech.
In your 2019 manifesto, there are no trans-specific policies, just general LGBT plus policies. You've spoken out against the UK government's crackdown on the Scottish government's self-ID approach. Will there be trans-specific policies in the next manifesto?
Oh, whenever I'm asked about the next manifesto, I have to say it's a little bit early. That will get written by the party committee in charge of it at the time. But you can be absolutely sure that the Liberal Democrats will support equality for all LGBT plus people. We always have. I personally have a proud history of standing up for the LGBT community when I managed to change the law and got rid of what was called Section 28, which was a horrible conservative law, which put in law discrimination against lesbian and gay people in the way that people were educated. And I think that was wrong. I'm proud we got rid of it. And it's part of a very proud Liberal Democrat history supporting equality.
If you've got any more time, could you tell us a bit more about what you remember of your part in the repealment of Section 28? I read that the Liberal Democrats were the first to introduce legislation to repeal the Act with a clause introduced by you.
Yeah, it was during the late last Labour government, and so we were in opposition. But in opposition, you can still change the law. And so we put an amendment down to a piece of legislation before the House, and we managed to persuade the Labour government to support it. And so it was a Liberal Democrat initiative, but you obviously have to win votes from other political parties, and that's what we did. And, you know, it was a really significant moment because it was horrendous that within our law, discrimination was being supported in the way that the previous Conservative government had done. And it was a real moment of freedom and equality.